Good news for you today. If you're listening to Life Talks, you can survive your child's period of adolescence.
I thought you were about to give away money.
Oh yeah. This is better than money. So I've raised four teenagers and I'm still alive to tell the story.
Amen.
There were days though when I knew I was either going to die or go to prison. I was just sure of it. But no, I'm not in prison.
You got through
it. I survived it. That's going to be our topic today on Life Talks. We're talking about strategies for dealing with adolescent rebellion. Mm. So, and we're going to keep it general. I'm not going to tell you how ornery my kids were. I may allude to it a little bit. And Ben, you've got a couple of adolescents still in your
I'm in the middle of the battlefield right
now. I know all three of your kids and finer
and
kids.
And I love them all.
I do not know finer kids than your three kids. At the same time, you were ornery. I was ornery. Every kid, when they're a teenager, goes through this period of, I'm sure there are a few out there that they were just, you know, want to be Mary, you know, Mary Mother of Jesus types. But most of them, most teenagers do go through a period of difficulty, just like most toddlers go through a tantrum
terrible
stage.
Yeah, I think it's completely normal and natural. I think there's most parents that think, oh my goodness, what's happened to my child? Mm-hmm. They need to remember that there's nothing wrong with you. Mm-hmm. There is just a natural reality to the human condition that happens right around the age of testosterone bursting in their bodies, mm-hmm. and their identity issues, that there's going to be moments of rebellion and of clashing, mm-hmm. the clashing of wills, mm-hmm. is a very normal, natural thing to happen within the homes. I don't care how godly you are. I don't care how many times you had family devotions or sending them to Christian school or homeschooled, or it doesn't matter all if you did everything right. These are things that are probably you're going to experience.
Yeah, and that's kind of one of the reasons why we wanted to talk about this today. And we're not going to give you 10 points toward having a drama-free adolescence.
Change your kid by this Friday.
Yeah, that's not. This is not going to happen. In fact, we're going to tell you the opposite of that. It's going to happen. But what we want to kind of express in this episode is this is to be expected. You look through the stories of Scripture. You look through history. You look through even the testimonies of people who've been in the public eye, and sometimes their kids went completely off the rails. Sometimes they go through a period of it. Some kids don't. There were times when I was rebellious as a teenager. I'm not gonna lie. My mother could give you testimony of it, but I never went like flaming off the rails,
right?
Because that's just not in my makeup. I'm, you know, the way I'm wired, the way God created me, that wasn't an interest of mine.
Yeah.
But there are other kids who like they're born kicking when they come out of the womb and they don't stop kicking. So, in full disclosure, I'm a pastor, but also I'm a professor and at Liberty University, I'm considered the subject matter expert on family discipleship.
Nice.
I feel like a huge hypocrite on this.
Don't tell anyone at Liberty.
Yeah. No, I'm a huge hypocrite on this.
No, but, you're not, Dan.
One of the things I think that equips me for this is this. And I start off every class, and I teach this class 8 times or 6 times a year. And every time I start with it, there is no secret sauce. There is no magic bullet.
Yes.
There is no special formula.
Absolutely.
That will guarantee that your kids are going to turn out right, or they're not going to cause you difficulty.
Yeah, I think we've said that multiple times. Yeah. It bears repeating because I do believe that there, most of us as human individuals, we do want the equation.
We want the simple answer.
We want the answers. We want to be able to give me the guaranteed outcome for my children. And no matter how many times we say it, we still have this level of expectation inside of us that says, well, look at all the right things that I did, and now they're doing this, and it doesn't make sense. And I think that's something that's highly frustrating for us as parents.
Yeah, and that's kind of hopefully what we'll communicate in this is the other thing is this. I've got four kids. You've got three, but on my four kids, if you were to put their personalities on a compass representing, there are four
points.
Different points on a compass. What worked for my boys did not work for my girls. What worked for one of my girls didn't work for the other one of my girls.
Yeah. That is so important. If you don't understand that, if you know what worked for this child is going to work for this child, you have to take them very differently because of the uniqueness of who they are.
Yeah. I also believe that there are some genetic predispositions that some kids possess. Yep. I mean, I see it now. My kids are adopted, so I'm dealing with genetic predispositions that are not my fault. But if I look at my nephews and nieces who have more of my DNA in them, and I understand how some of them think, but I also see some of them doing things that I would have done, stupid things I would have done. So there's those factors that all of it makes this a very complicated topic, in other words.
Yeah,
so,
I do think that... there's got to be a lot of patience, and there's got to be a lot of seeking the Lord on these issues, because if we're not, we will drive ourselves crazy.
Yeah.
And we will try to, I think one of the things you're saying is this promise of, you know, get a new kid by Friday, whatever it may be. Mm-hmm. It's not like that. It's like a roller coaster. It takes time. You know, you might have a great year, you know, man, when they were 15, they were really good. And then they were 16, it was really hard. And then it was 17, it was really good. I mean, sometimes even within the high school years, you'll have these ups and downs. Or, you know, and if one kid always had, man, this son had a different, you know, high school experience than this high school. Mm-hmm. It was harder for junior high than this kid's harder for high school. It's just so different. And so if you go into raising your teenagers with this mentality of this is what it's going to be like, just crumple up the blueprints, crumple up the plans, and throw them in the garbage. Now, that doesn't mean that you shouldn't have a plan. It doesn't mean that you shouldn't have, you know, skills and abilities and some purpose to your parenting. It just means that what you think is going to work most likely isn't going to work.
Exactly. And, you know, many times people will quote passages of scripture, train up a child in the way he should go, and his old he won't depart from it, and as if that's a promise from God. And it's not. It's a truism. It's a proverb.
Yeah.
Proverbs say, you know, here's something to attempt, here's something to try, and it often works. But there's no promise implied in it at all. But I do think that's part of what motivates us as believers is, above all other things, we want our kids to follow the Lord. Yeah. We want our kids not to rebel against God. But you know, the scripture also says foolishness is bound in the heart of the child.
Yes.
I mean, we're born rebellious. We're born in this way.
Yeah.
So let me kind of, you know, move our conversation into this. And what can we do when a child is young to help prepare us for that period of time when, you know, the assertion of individuality starts coming out in its strongest sense?
Yeah. One of the biggest things I would say is you need one of the things that's going to help you the most is going there's two things I would say. Number one, you have to stay close to their heart.
Mm-hmm.
You have to stay close to their heart. You have to understand, you know, be close to them. Just be close to them. There's going to be moments where they want to be their own person. That's just completely natural. But as long as you're close to them, as you're pursuing, never stop pursuing your child. I think that's really important. And then the second thing I would say is this: when they're young, have a home environment where they know there are consequences to their actions.
Yeah.
I think that those consequences are going to change. Again, I always recommend this book, Parenting with Love and Logic. I can't remember the authors, but they actually have a book for parents and when younger kids, but they also have one, a version for adolescent teenagers. Or parents of adolescent teenagers. And so I would say those two books are phenomenal because they deal with the whole kids who, you know, slam the doors, talk back, you know, they rebel, they do their own thing. Like, what do you do in those moments when your kids are saying, you've drawn the line in the sand and then they step over? What some parents want to do, because they don't want to deal with the attitude and the frustration, is they draw another line in the sand. Okay, well, now, you know, and the teens, they keep walking over the lines. And so what you've got to do is you have to set the strong boundaries of communicating them and saying, if you do this, here are the consequences, and then being consistent with those consequences. And I just think, as long as you are close to their heart, and if you try to just be a consequence master without being close to their heart, it's not going to go over well. And if you just try to be close to your kid's heart, but you don't have consequences, they're going to run all over you. You need to do both. It's the balance between grace and truth. It's the balance of yes, I'm going to be, you know, fully loving, fully kind, fully gracious, but I'm also going to be fully there's also justice in this world.
And I, you know, doubling down on that, because it's important we teach our kids that, because that's how God functions with us. He has unconditional love for us, but there are always going to be consequences toward our rebellion.
Yes.
When we, and I think this is one of the most important things that a parent brings to their young child is this. When we teach our young children to respect the presence of authority in their life, we are preparing them to respond to the higher authority of God and His universal truth, His universal law, and His ever-present authority, or should be, in our life. If a child never respects his parents, he's never going to respect the police, and he's never going to respect the president, and he's never going to respect God.
Absolutely.
And so, you know, the first person that ought to be, and we kind of have this free parenting, free-range parenting philosophy that says a child should just explore and they'll learn spontaneously.
The Montessori parenting.
Exactly. It is the Montessori methodology. And I would say, well, there are some things about Montessori philosophy that I find encouraging and I wouldn't just dismiss outright. Every child needs structure. Every child needs direction. Even the verse, train up a child, is the same word, hanach, in the Hebrew that was used for like a trellis that you put a rose on, or for a gate that you put a horse in to start off a race. So you get them going in the right direction, but you do that by providing them with structure and direction.
Yeah. I think one of the things you keep saying, which I think is really important, we talk about rebellion. And to me, what I find is that there's actually – Not all rebellion is the same.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, there's different kinds of rebellion. And if you just think that your kid's being rebellious and you treat it all the same, sometimes you're going to lack the wisdom of the nuance of how to lead your children through that season. And so here's what I know. Some rebellion is spiritual in nature. Mm-hmm. They want to do their own thing. They want to rebel against God. They want to rebel against, you know, the word of God, the standards that you brought them in. Like, there are times when kids will be like, I'm done with the God thing. Mm-hmm. And it might drive you crazy. It might really frustrate you. But here's the thing. You can't make your kid love Jesus.
Right.
Right? And so, one, I would say, sometimes the rebellion is spiritual. Sometimes the rebellion is hormonal, mm-hmm. right? It's really nothing to do with they don't love God. Mm-hmm. It's not that they
don't hate you.
They don't hate you. It's just they're being bombarded with testosterone and estrogen, and they will say and do things that are like, what is wrong with you?
Yeah.
You know, and they are
just the equivalent of if you drink too much caffeine, you know, and all of a sudden you say, why am I talking so fast? Why is my heart racing?
And so sometimes it's just, you know, you and I can probably testify. There are times in a young man's life that when their mom tells them to do something, it's not going to go over well. Yeah. And it's nothing to do with they don't love their mom. It's just there's this drive in young men that all of a sudden they don't want their mothers telling them what to do.
And the response may be one of anger.
Yeah.
Or frustration or, you know, growling.
Yeah. And so you've got to navigate those things. It could just be a testosterone thing of, okay, listen, I know you don't want your mother dictating to you what to do, but you got to honor her, right?
Yeah. And one of the smartest things my mom was an expert at this, as I transitioned into my teenage years, instead of my mom appealing to her authority over me, like, do it, because I said to, she would do things like, you know, would you mind taking the garbage out? That is so heavy, and you are so strong. Would you mind doing it? And all of a sudden, you know, I'm the Incredible Hulk. You know, all 106 pounds of me, I'm picking up.
Yeah.
So, and you say, well, and here's the thing that gets me, because in our woke generation, we don't want to recognize that God wired men to be leaders, to want to carry the burdens, to be protectors. Mm. And a wise parent picks up on that. Even a father who helps his daughter prepare for the wrong kind of guy entering her life, he models the right kind of guy.
Yes,
and,
absolutely.
And by modeling generosity, by modeling the differences in gender and so forth, we prepare our kids to pick the right kind of spouse and to choose the right kind of friends to be able to navigate the frustrations.
Yes. I have two other kinds of rebellion, but just, it might be hormonal. So don't freak out if your son says something or daughter says something. And it's part of the natural development of human beings. Mm-hmm. The third one I would say is personality. You know, sometimes, you mentioned this before, they come out of the womb. And here's where certain, I don't put all of my eggs in these baskets, but whether it's Myers-Briggs or Enneagram or something else, there's things that you can identify and be like, oh man, this person is a lot like this personality type, which means if I just tell them, hey, you're doing this today, they're gonna be like, oh yeah, make me.
Yeah.
Whereas or if you say, hey, I really need your help with something. Is there a way that you could help me? If you just simply ask instead of tell, it changes everything. And so be aware of the personality kinds of your, and here's the other thing. You might have a kid who's very agreeable, right? And this is on the flip side of sometimes you got to teach it. They'll just go along with everything. But the problem is they'll go along with everything. Mm-hmm. You've got to teach them how to draw a line in the sand for themselves. So sometimes the kids that are, you know, the children that are more rebellious or more, you know, in your face, like, I'm not going to do that. You know, man, if God ever gets a hold of them and they get a hold of God, it's awesome because you don't have to teach them convictions. They have them. But it's the kids that kind of just go along. Maybe they never cause you any heartache or problems with rebellion, but they're sneaky and they're, you know, they say yes to your face, but behind your back, they do something different. Mm-hmm. That's a personality issue. You've got to be aware of those kinds of things. And the last one I would just say, and this is really hard for us as parents to even think about, but there could be times when your child is expressing something emotionally or in a way of rebellion, and it is trauma-based. Mm-hmm. What I mean by this, they have experienced some level of trauma, whether it's abuse or whether it's bullying or something in their life.
That's likely to be outside of your purview. You may not be aware of it.
Outside of your home, outside of your influence, and all of a sudden it feels like something just, your kid snapped and they are acting in a way that's like, what's going on with them? We hate to think about these things happening to our children, but you and I have been around long enough to know that this is... you can have the best Christian home, and something happens to one of your children that you're like, I didn't see it coming, and it's tragic. It's heartbreaking, right?
And it can be partially because they ignored you on something.
Yeah,
they put themselves in a risky situation.
Exactly. But those are the categories. If you can identify where is the root of this rebellion, it helps you know how to walk them through these things.
And let's park there for just a second, because most parents make the mistake of responding to the rebellion rather than looking for the reason for the rebellion. Mm. And it's really, really crucial that you take a breath too. Because what becomes eventually and can be is a test of wills. You know, it's the two thundering men in the room and like, you know, okay, you want to have a contest? We'll have a contest. And guess who's going to win this one? And I'm stupid enough to actually use those very phrases at times with my sons. And, you know, I'm glad they never took me up on it, because they probably could have wiped the floor with me. But you know, once the emotion has subsided, we have to remember this too. We're dealing with emerging adults. We keep our kids young a lot longer than they did in previous generations. Yeah. 13, 14, 15-year-olds and, you know, 300, 500, 600 years ago were getting married and starting the family and moving away and learning their careers.
My grandparents' generation, when you were 13 years old, you were driving tractors, buses. I mean, you were driving vehicles on the road.
I was driving on the road when I was 12 and 13.
Yeah, I mean, that was a very normal thing to do.
Yeah. And growing up on a farm, it was also a necessary thing to do.
Yeah.
You had to.
Yeah.
The fact is, this is part of God's way of preparing them to become adults and you for letting them become adults. Mm. I had a nest of bluebirds built on my back pergola, and I saw a little bluebird, you know, sitting on the edge, and it appeared to fall out on it. Mm. And it was on the ground, and it kind of hopped up on a bush or whatever. And you know, cat's going to come on and eat it. So I pick it up. I very, very gently put it back into the box. And then I go back and sit on the porch. And about 10 minutes later, here comes the mama bird. She goes in there. Next thing I know, bloop, out comes the baby bird again. And she literally shoved it out. Time to go. Time to go.
And really, that's what there is, that moment is missing for a lot of families today.
Yeah, failure to launch, right?
Yeah.
We need to recognize the fact that it is not natural for adults who are not sharing the same bed and who are not in covenant relationship to be living together, it is going to cause conflict. And the older your kids get, the closer they get to launching, the more conflict you're going to have to navigate, because it is natural. You wouldn't want somebody telling you when to go to bed at you know, 40.
Yeah.
And so an 18-year-old isn't wanting someone to say, well, did you go to bed? Did you wash behind your ears? Did you pick up your underwear? No adult man likes that. So the difference between an 18-year-old and a 28 or a 38-year-old isn't that big of a difference. That doesn't mean you let your kid trash their room.
Right.
Nor does it mean when you're 48, you shouldn't pick up your own shorts.
Yeah. Yeah.
But it does mean that those feelings you get when someone's telling you what to do and are natural part of the way God's wired us.
Yeah.
So yeah. We're running out of time very quickly. Any last thoughts you want to share?
I had a couple things as, you know, number one, or another idea would be lean in, don't back off. If your kid's being rebellious, don't, you know, some parents
ignore it, right?
Get passive and they just, I don't want to upset them anymore, upset her anymore. And no. What you need to do is lean in, have the hard conversations. You know, if they are pushing the boundaries, you got to be consistent and understand that what you're working on is not their behavior, but their heart. Mm. Continually to bring back to the heart. Keep, I think about the father who had his demon possessed, and what he kept doing. He's like, I need to bring you to Jesus and keep putting Jesus before him. It's bigger than you. Don't take things personally. And the last thing I would say is recruit a team. You know, sometimes they need voices. I mean, Dan, you and I could probably count on both hands the amount of times our kids would come home and say, you know, I met with Mr. So-and-so today and they said this to me and it really made a huge impact on me. And I'm like, I have told that to you 37,000 times, but Mr. So-and-so says it one time and you're like, oh, God taught me something amazing today. And you're like, well, but that's the reality.
Yeah. And you want to encourage those. I mean, you played that role for my kids growing up because you were their youth pastor.
Yeah. Yeah.
I've gotten close to your older kids.
Yeah.
And I enjoy playing that role. Sometimes I'll
thank you, Dan.
I'll say something to them. I know I learned from you.
We're like, Dan's so wise. Yeah. My kids love you. But I think it's one of those things, recruit a team, whether it's a coach, youth pastor. Listen, there's going to be a moment in all your kids' lives where they don't want to go to church. They don't want to go to youth group. They don't want to do the things that, and listen, you still have to say, listen, when you leave this house, you can make those decisions. Yeah. You're going to go. Like, okay, you don't want to go to this youth group or that youth group or this church. Find another church to go to. I'll drop you off. Mm-hmm. Now, I just want you to go, and you need to be in a spiritual community. Yeah. That's what's so important. And so don't compromise the standards of putting your kids. They need to have a team around them. Mm-hmm. Don't isolate them. And so those are some big ideas I would just leave us with.
We'll probably come and pick this up again in another round because there's when it comes to parenting teenagers, there is no end to the conversations we can have. But you mentioned the book a while ago, Parenting with Love and Logic. That was written by Klein and Cline and Faye. I also recommend the books by the Tripp family, Shepherding a Child's Heart.
Excellent.
So T-R-I-P-P. There's about three or four of them that are very, very good.
Yep.
David and Paul Tripp and their wives. So be reading, be sharing, be learning, and be part of a community of believers who are going through the same thing you are. As always, it's great to have you on Life Talks. We'll catch you next time.
You've been listening to Life Talks. Be sure to hit the subscribe button so you never miss a new episode. Share this podcast on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter to let your friends and family know about Life Talks. We'd love to hear from you as well, so leave a comment and let us know your thoughts on this episode or any other topics we've discussed. Life Talks is a ministry of Life Fellowship in Cornelius, North Carolina. For more information on Life Talks or Life Fellowship, visit lifecharlotte.com or you can find us on Facebook at Life Fellowship Charlotte.